So we are in the second verse of this text called Gyan Sar, which is the essence of knowledge. Because knowledge is the only way, or I guess the most direct way, to reach the infinite. The most direct way to reach the infinite. Other paths like service, love, devotion, they all help. But knowledge is the direct path and removes all our ignorance. And last week we had done verse number 2. We'll chant that together. And then I'll just summarize what we had done. We had done 3/4 of the verse. But 1/4 I had left for today because that is the difficult portion. So verse number 2. Dehatma bhavo vishayeshu ragah. Bhavo vishayeshu ragah kartritva bhavascha tathaiva karmasu. Bhavascha tathaiva karmasu satyatva buddhir jagatiha yasya. Vabuddhir jagatiha yasya sa eva bhattav. Purushascha dukhi, vabada purushascha dukhi. So he says that person is bound and that person is sorrowful. Now we are all here looking for happiness in this world. Nobody is looking for sorrow. But he says that these 4 things, if you have, that is a prescription for sorrow. Like if you go to your doctor and say, give me a prescription for sorrow, he will take out his RX pad and write out these 4 things. So 3 of them we had covered last week. It says, I am this body. I am this body. That is the number one source of all problems. Because the moment you say, I am this body, then this body is real. And that is my nature. And I have to do everything to nourish this body, support this body, acquire more for this body, steal from other people so my body may be rich and nourished. And then secondly, what it does, the moment I think I am this body, then I have to acquire objects for this body. So I get attached to objects, I get attached to things, then I get attached to people that give this body happiness. It could be my wife, my husband, my child, my parents, my job, my, you know, whatever gives this body comfort and happiness, I get attached to that. And the third problem is that I am the doer. I am the doer. This body is the one that is doing. And I get so identified with the body that say, I am doing. You know, that is of course normal. We have to say that. But when you are trying to evolve spiritually, you have to identify yourself with this consciousness, because we have talked about that before, that everything is nothing but that one consciousness, and that is me. And this body and this mind and this intellect is an equipment that is working. So my body is exercising, my mind is feeling emotions, my intellect is thinking and judging and discriminating, but I am none of these. So I am not doing it. So when you do that, then what happens is you do not have this sense of doership. You do not have this pride. Or another way to say it is that the Lord is working. Whatever I'm doing it as a servant. And that end result is the same. I am not the doer. I am a servant of the Lord. The Lord has given me abilities, and my body, mind, and intellect is an equipment that is serving the Lord. And that is also very fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But in either case, one has to declutch or disidentify with the body and say, my body, mind, and intellect are my equipments. We have talked about that many times. And when you do that, then your actions become pure, because then you are not only identified with that one individual, whether it's Carrie or Diana or Anil. I become part of that universal whole. I am no longer an Indian or an American or white or black. I am no longer a man or a woman. I am no longer even a human being or an animal or a bird or plant or fish. I become one with that totality. And that is the only way which all the saints have taught us. If you look at the life of Jesus or Buddha or Swami Chinmayananda or all these great saints and sages, they, prophets, they mention that, that there is only one reality, and that is, you can call it Father in heaven, you can call it Allah, and we are all part of that. So this we had done last week. If you need more details, please check the website. We had spent about half an hour talking about it. It's called firstpower.info. So the fourth one, which he says, is this world is real. If you think this world is real, that is sorrow. So people say, that I'm not going to believe. Everything else you can tell me, you know, that I'm not this body, I am a servant of the Lord, I am not the do. But the world, you know, my mother-in-law, how can you say she's not real? Or my boss, or the pain I have in my leg, you know, I have a severe arthritis, and you're telling me this is not real? And this, it's so hot outside, you're telling me the heat is not real, the cold is not real. After this talk, if all of you don't come back next week, I'll understand. I won't have any problem with that. So let us try to understand this topic, that the world is not real. It's difficult. Please be patient with me. And if you have questions, I'll try my best to answer them. We can even continue next week. But there is this verse. It says, this is what we chant at the end of the Chinmaya mission, when the classes end. This is one of the verses we chant. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. So this is what they always chant. So I'll translate it and then see if it makes any sense. He says, Om Purnamada. So that is complete. Om Purnamidam, this is complete. So that is complete, this is complete. Purnat Purnamudachyate, the complete emerged from the complete. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Avashishyate. When the complete is negated from the complete alone remains. So that is complete, this is complete, the complete emerged from the complete. When the complete is negated from the complete alone remains. Simple, right? I think maybe the author was high on some marijuana or alcohol or when he wrote it. Actually, it is one of the most powerful verses ever you can find in the Upanishads. This has the essence of the entire creation and what is God and what is my... It's a beautiful verse. So let us spend a little time studying it. So when the Rishi says that is complete, what does he mean by that? Because when you talk about God, we say that God who is up there, you know, he's punishing me. Where can I see that God? So we all, even though God is everywhere, but we think of him as that. So that God is complete, right? He's perfect. He's complete. There's nothing that is lacking. So that God is complete. Then he says, this is complete. When he says this is complete, he's talking about this world. This world that we perceive, say this earth, is intrinsically complete. If you look in the earth, the mother earth has enough to feed all of us. All humans, all birds, all plants, even a little bacteria crawling, you know, gets food. Even the moss growing in the pond gets food. You know, everybody. In fact, Guru Nanak once says, the famous saint, he says that, why do you worry about where are you going to get what you need? He says that merciful Lord even takes care of that moss growing in the pond, and you are his, you know, the highest form of creation, human. You think he won't take care of you? And we are always so worried, you know, what will happen to me? Just have faith in him. If he can take care of the moss and the bacteria and the viruses and the little cockroaches, you don't think he will take care of you if you just love him and dedicate it to him? So everything is complete on this earth. It's the humans that have created problem. You know, my oil and your oil and my country and your country and my house and your... And by acquiring, possessing, fighting, we have created a lot of the problems. Otherwise, the creation was doing fine before we came. In fact, the Garden of Eden that is described in the Bible was a perfect place. All the animals were living in harmony, you know, birds and fish, and there was plenty of fruit and the flowers were growing. And it is when we humans came that we started polluting the earth and destroying it and stealing. But anyway, the point is that that is complete, that God is complete and this earth is complete. This world is complete, right? I mean, you know, may not be for each individual, but by and large, the earth is complete. Now, the third line says the complete emerged from the complete. So we say, even though in the end we'll disprove it, but we'll say for the student, when he starts studying, he thinks that the world came out of God. You know, God was there and the world came out of him. And we all believe that God alone was. And then in 7 days, he created the earth. So how did he create out of himself? Right? Because there was no air, space, fire, water, earth. Everything was created from that almighty, powerful. And then in this concept, God is not a limited form. He's not Jesus or Krishna or Shiva or Buddha. He is that all-pervasive reality that we call Brahman, that totality. That is the concept of God that we have to take in this example. You cannot think of him at this, as the Father in heaven, an old man sitting there. Not like that. It has to be the total. So have that concept in your mind, the totality. So that is complete, this is complete, and the complete came out of the complete, emerged from the complete. But now what do we have to do? We have to negate one. When you negate the complete from the complete, then the complete alone remains. So what do we have to negate? The God, a Brahman, we cannot negate, right? That is permanent. That was always there. Is there and will be there. What we have to do is negate this world to prove that the world is unreal. So you say, well, you know, let me take a stone and hit you on your head and then I'll see if you find the stone unreal. But let us try. So what is the concept of real and unreal? We think that whatever I can see is real. If I can hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it, feel it, it is real. But if you go to Las Vegas and if you have seen David Copperfield perform, or any great magician, you know, he does all kinds of things. You know, he'll pull out strings from people's ears and create a rabbit and then create all kinds of illusions and even have a plane landing on the stage and all that. Is that real? No. It's an illusion. These are master magicians who create all, when they saw that girl in half, you think every time he has to get a new girl every show, be very expensive for him. Okay, one gone, next one. You know, he will never be able to sell, you know, find enough volunteers. So that whole thing is an illusion created by that magician. So what we say, that this world is also an illusion created by that master magician, which we call as God or Brahman. But then how was the world created? You know, the other point, briefly, before I go into that, what we say is real is what was there in the past, is there in the present, and will always be in the future. That which always was, always is, and always will be, that is real. That which is changing, that means, say, like I was not there a few years ago, and then I appeared, you know, and then I came on this earth. And then I'm here and speaking, and then in a few years I'll be gone. This building was not there a few years ago, was created, and then maybe in a few years we may break it and make a, you know, bigger building. So this chairs, table, whatever was not there forever, was not there appears for a moment and then will not be there in the future, we say it has a relative reality. It does not have a permanent reality. One is a permanent reality, that is God, that always was, is there, will be there. There was never a time when, that's why they call him the causeless cause, or anadi, or beginningless, means there was not one particular time when suddenly God appeared. No, God was always there and always will be there. This earth and this universe and everything was not there. God alone was. The universe was created, and even the scientists tell us that there was a big bang or whatever, and the universe was created. And then after a few billion years, all the stars will become dark, will lose their energy and merge into one big black hole, and the universe will end. So that is one knowledge, that what is permanent is real, what is temporary or changing is relative reality or unreal. But what we say, actually the earth was never created. The universe, we were never created. How do you say that? You know, you're negating yourself. It's a difficult subject, I'll try. So how does creation happen? Now, there are only four ways in which creation can happen. All the creation anywhere in the universe, there are only four methods that I can think of. There may be one or two others if you can come up. One is a tree. Now, there is a seed, and you plant the seed in the ground, you water it and give it nutrients, and out of the seed emerges a little plant, and then it grows to become a huge tree. But what happens to the seed? The seed dies, right? The seed cannot, you cannot take that seed and plant it again. Now, from that tree, you can get more seeds and more fruits. That is beside the point. But that particular seed from which that tree emerged dies. So that is one method of creation, right? Second method is that you have a hole and you take part of it and make it into separate, like the sun was huge. And then out of the sun came the nine planets, or eight or ten, whatever you believe. The poor Pluto was removed as a planet. But anyway, so there are these nine planets which came out of the sun and became, you know, each one circling the sun. So the sun, which was this big, became a little bit smaller. Why? Because some pieces came out and became the planets. Or like if you have an apple and you cut a piece and I give it to you, then my apple, I'll only have three quarters because I have given one quarter to another. This reminds me of a little story. This teacher was asking this boy, if I give you $2, and your father gives you $2, how many will you have? He said, $2. What? I give you $2 and your father gives you $2, how many will you have? I'll have $2. She says, you don't know your math. He says, you don't know my father. So, assuming that I give you a piece of my apple, the apple will become smaller, right? I had a big apple and I cut a piece and I gave it to you, or from the sun. So that is a part of the whole. So one is the seed died. Another one is a part was taken out. The third method of creation is like, say, I make a building. So what do? I take parts. I take steel from here and I take some cement and then I take some wood. And then I get some brakes, and then I get some electrical wiring and plumbing and all. And then the contractor collects all those parts, gets all the subcontractors to come, and they collect and they build everything, and they build a nice big house. So they take parts, different parts from the earth to create the house. So that is the third method of creation. And the fourth is a baby, you know, like the mother is there. And then the baby is born. And that is the fourth method of creation, where she is complete and the baby is complete. So there are four methods. I mean, there may be others, but basically these are the four. Others are modifications. So these are the only four ways you can create something new. Now, will this apply to God and to the universe? Can we say it was like the seed? God was the seed and the universe came from him and God died. You know, the seed dies. So can we say that Brahman or God is dead now because, you know, the earth came out? So it cannot be like a seed. So that is negated. It cannot be a seed, right? Everybody agrees? Okay, second is, or maybe God is dead. You know, there was a Newsweek cover, is God dead? Well, he's not, but anyway. Otherwise, when you're sleeping, who is taking care of your body? You know, who is taking care of your body and making your heart beat and your lungs? You are not doing it. You are fast asleep. There has to be some energy that is making the whole, keeping all the planets in their orbit. And then how the Halley's Comet comes every 86 years. There has to be a power. It's not happening just randomly. How each cell is multiplying in the body and how all the... It cannot be just happening by itself, even though some scientists believe that. But anyway, God is not dead. Take my word for it. The second is that, now, like the sun, okay, part of it came out and became the nine planets. So can we say God was huge and then the universe came out of it? And so one quarter of him became the universe. So God became smaller. Why? Because this universe came. No, God is everywhere. He's all pervading. There is nowhere where he's not. So he cannot become smaller or bigger because he is called as avyayam. That means immutable. There cannot be any change in that. In that total consciousness, there cannot be any change. It is called changeless. So he is permanent. He cannot be changed. He cannot be modified. He cannot be made smaller. And he cannot be made bigger because there is no place where he is not. He is everywhere. So he cannot be that. Cannot be that a part of him came out and became the earth. Then the third is parts of, you know, like we took parts and made a building. So we took a part of God and made the plants, and then we took a part of God and made the animals, and then we took a part of God and made the humans, and then we took a part of God and made earth. And so God became somehow modified and changed, and all these parts were then put together. Again, he is said to be avyayam, immutable. There cannot be any change, and he cannot be divided. It is partless. That's what they say about God. He is partless. You cannot divide God and say, okay, this part is God and this part is earth. You know, I am here and God is somewhere else. We cannot, because God is everywhere. He's in everything. God, that totality I'm talking about, not God with a form. So he cannot be changed. He cannot be modified. Then there had to be somebody else, you know, taking parts of God. It doesn't work. Okay, the third part. How about the fourth one? You know, the baby and the mother. Now, because the baby is complete, the baby is running around and she's playing, and the mother is cooking in the kitchen. So why can't it be like that? You know, that's why God, many places, they worship God as mother goddess or as father. So the creator of the universe, just as the mother creates the baby, so God created the universe. And why can't it be like that? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to us. But think about it. The mother is cooking in the kitchen. The baby is playing in her playroom. Or when she becomes bigger, she's biking out into the street, or she's driving in her car as she becomes older, or she's going off to college. Now the mother is maybe home and the baby is in the next room or in the next city or maybe even in the next country. So mother is not there where the baby is, and the baby is not there that the mother is, right? So even though the two are complete, they get separated. They are not always together. So if you take this particular example, then you are saying that God is somewhere and the world has separated from God, just like the baby separated from the mother. And so now the world is functioning on its own and God is sitting somewhere and we don't need him. You know, he's useless now that he has created this universe. We don't need God. But the main point about God is that he's called as all-pervading. He is everywhere, in every cell. He's in this pointer. He's in this table. He's in the space between me and Diana. He's in the air. He's in everywhere. He's beyond space. Even the space cannot touch him. He's that much beyond it. So then the universe could not have been created, right? Is there any other method of creation? We have disproved all four. He cannot be a part of the whole. He cannot die and the earth universe came. It cannot be parts put together. And it cannot be like the mother and baby. So then how did the world appear? You know, how did the world appear? Then why do I see the world? Why do I see the pointer and the table? And why am I listening to you? You know, if you are not real. We say that just as David Copperfield creates an illusion in Las Vegas where he chops up the woman and he even has planes landing. They say that he actually makes a Boeing land on the stage. And that's nothing but an illusion. It's not real. It's a magical trick. So Lord created this illusion of this earth. But the Lord supports this illusion. He's not separate from him. On that God consciousness appeared this illusion of the earth. The example of the rope and the snake, we have given that many times, but we'll talk about it again, that there is a rope lying on the ground and I'm walking and it's not broad daylight. If it was broad daylight, you could see the rope, you know, as the rope. Or it's not pitch black. If it's pitch dark, then I'm walking and again I don't see the rope. But it is twilight. The sun has set. It's a little bit light there. I can barely see. So, and the rope is lying in the shape of a snake. It happens to be in that. And I walk and I think it's a snake and I get so scared and I think the snake will bite me and I start sweating and I become, you know, because I'm afraid of snakes. Some people have this fear and I even become unconscious and even I pass out, I faint because. Now there was no snake, but because I did not see the rope as a rope, I projected a snake upon it. Then I had all the fears, and it happens to all of us. You know, you're walking and you see something on the ground, or you see something, you think it's a crawling insect, or you can project anything. Now you needed the rope. Suppose there was no rope at all. Would you have said there is a snake? No, because the substratum is not there. The rope is required to project the snake. But not seeing the rope as a rope, in my ignorance, I imagine that there is a snake. Right? Is that clear to everybody? That's Shankaracharya's very famous example. So then a wise man comes and said, "What are you so scared about? Why are you crying?" He said, "There is a snake, there's a snake. I can't go there. He's going to bite me." He said, "There's no snake." He shines a light, and then you see the rope as a rope. Now, can you say that part of it is the rope and part of it is the snake? No. Once you see even a part of it as the rope, you immediately realize the whole thing is a rope. You can't say 90% is rope and 10% is snake or half is rope. And either it's fully rope or fully snake. So the rope, not recognizing the rope as a rope, I project the snake. So what we say, just as the snake was created in my mind, there was no reality. Can you say the snake was not there? In that illusion, I was totally convinced that the snake was there. I cannot say that the snake never existed. For a moment, I thought the snake was there. And then when the wise person showed me the light, then I realized the snake was not there. So, what we say, that this whole universe is nothing but that one consciousness on which this universe has been projected. But what we do is we don't see that consciousness that is there in every one of us. And that's why we perceive all these variety of objects. We say, this is good and this is bad. But a saint, they love everybody universally because they say, I am that divinity and everybody is that. So you and I, because of our ignorance, we project, this is my friend, this is my countryman, this I love. But in reality, this, the wise rishis who have written these beautiful verses have told us that do not focus on the projection. Go down to the support, the substratum. And when you do that, when you wake up to that highest reality, then this whole world will be negated. That's what he says. When the complete is negated from the complete alone remains. Then the wise person says, I see my Father in everybody. That's what Jesus could say, because everything is nothing but my one Father. Everywhere. He had no projection. He said, love everybody, love thy neighbor.